Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Okay. All right. So, wow, it's so wonderful to see everybody back and new faces as well. I want to begin with a little encouragement to each of you to seek the truths of God's word and his wisdom as you study this semester. So, Joe and I recently went on a cruise, and it was wonderful. We had such a great time. It was so much fun. It just so happens that the ship that we were on was the exact ship that our daughter Heather and her husband Alex were on just a month prior. So if any of you have taken a cruise recently, you may be aware of something cruisers have started doing where they hide ducks on the ship for other people to find. I know, it's kind of funny. Some people put a small label with the duck that tells where they're from and which cruise that they hit it on. So it's a very popular pastime for some people on cruise ships. When Heather and Alex were cruising on the same ship last month, they hid a tiny purple duck somewhere and sent a text to us with a picture of the duck saying it was hidden somewhere on the ship for us to find. A month later, okay? So, always up for a good challenge, Joe and I set out to find this small duck when we were on our cruise. Talk about looking for a needle in a haystack. We were looking for a tiny duck that isn't even 1 inch in size on a ship that is over 1,100 feet long, has 16 passenger decks with a capacity of over 6,700 passengers. In fact, many years ago, this particular ship was the largest cruise ship in the world. So every day, Joe and I would look, and what soon became very clear to us was how massive this ship was and how virtually impossible this task seemed. After the first day, Joe and I had found some ducks. We literally were finding ducks around the ship that other people had hidden, but we had not found that prized one that was hidden over a month ago. At one point, we were thinking, there's absolutely no way that this duck is going to be where they put it, because there's so many people on this ship that are seeking out to find ducks themselves. So after a couple of days, Heather began to give us hints, which renewed our search. First, she narrowed it down for us to an odd-numbered deck. All right, so we cut it in half. We kept searching and searching, all the while finding other ducks along the way. Mind you, we had quite the collection of rubber ducks and tiny ducks, but still no Miss Waddlestein. Yes, this prized purple duck had a name. Heather named her. The second hint Heather gave was she was behind closed doors. Are you kidding me? Do you know how many doors there are on a cruise ship? So we've got it narrowed down to an odd-numbered floor behind closed doors. So Joe, in his wisdom, goes to the ship map, and he looks at every odd-numbered floor at all of the public places that might have closed doors where this duck might be hidden. So we were able to narrow down our search even more. We sent Heather a list of 5 places that we had discovered which fell within the parameters given that we thought may be the hiding place. And lo and behold, she texted us back and told us that one of those locations was correct. So from our narrowed down list, we decided the next day we would focus our search on 2 of those locations, because out of all of the places that we had listed, these 2 would most likely have very little foot traffic, and maybe, just maybe, we would find this hidden gem. We checked the first spot to no avail, and we moved on to the second place, which was the game room on the ship. Mind you, this is a hidden room. You have to go through this little tiny hallway, and it's at the end of the hallway. And so we get to the game room, and we walk in, and after explaining to the couple that was in the room what was going on and gaining their approval to rip up the room looking, we began our search. We looked through puzzles and games, and we were really into trying to find this little duck. And then, lo and behold, a few minutes into our search, we found her. Miss Waddlestein was finally found on the bottom shelf of a cabinet, hidden in the very, very back corner. I could not believe. Joe and I were so excited. It's so silly because we had been looking over this huge ship and we found her. So we were so excited. Such a long search of a huge ship to find this hidden treasure. I'm still amazed that this tiny purple duck was there after a whole month. When it was all over, while searching this huge ship for this one tiny duck, we had found a total of 8 large ducks, 7 small ducks, 1 small unicorn, 1 small frog, and 1 small bear. To us, these were just small, unexpected treasures along the way. So, why have I taken up this time to tell you this story? Well, as I was reading my Bible the other day in Proverbs chapter 2, where speaking of God's wisdom, in verses 4 and 5 it says, "If you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." I was convicted that I should approach reading God's word and studying with more energy and excitement than I had put into searching out this little duck. The determination I had to find this duck should pale in comparison to the efforts I put into seeking out God's wisdom within the pages of Scripture. God's wisdom is better than that little hidden gem on this huge ship. He has given us the whole canon of Scripture, which at times can seem like a massive undertaking, similar to finding a tiny duck on a huge ship. But there are small, unexpected treasures that we can find each day as we search its pages for His wisdom. Ladies, our desire for this Bible study is that each of you has a hunger and thirst for the wisdom found within the pages of Scripture, and that each day you will have an excitement to open up its pages and search, knowing that what is contained within is a treasure beyond our comprehension and of greater worth than anything this life can offer. So this semester, we pray that you will search the Scriptures daily, seeking for the truth God has given us, and that you will find unexpected surprises along the way that will draw you closer to the Lord. So with that thought, let's discuss what we will be searching through this semester and touch on some of the hidden treasures we may find. If I were to offer you a book to read that in its description is portrayed as a book containing deception, lies, rape, murder, manipulation, and lust, many of you would turn it down because you wouldn't want to expose yourself to these types of sins. That is understandable and even commendable. But ladies, that is exactly what we will be studying this semester as we delve into this last section of Genesis. I remember as a kid, my mom would try to encourage young girls to read God's word, and she would say, "If you want to read about lies, deceit, sex, and murder, and more, read God's word." So while we may turn away from reading a secular book containing these sinful practices, we cannot turn away from reading God's word, which we will see this semester contains all of these sins and more. The difference is the Bible contains the very words of God, and we can read it with confidence, knowing that the sinful practices of man, which are contained within its pages, are not celebrated and something to be desired, but instead are pointing us to the wisdom of God and His faithfulness to accomplish His divine purposes despite man's sinful ways. Today, I would like to give a brief overview of what we can expect from our study this semester as we complete the book of Genesis through studying chapters 25 through 40. It's vital for us to remind ourselves what has already occurred in the chapters leading up to Genesis 25 in order to have a context for our current lessons. So we studied chapters 1 through 24, and I think it was 2021 and 2022 in Insight for Women, and many of you were here for those studies, but some of you were not. So let's quickly get up to speed to where we are, and then we can look forward to where we will go. In Genesis chapter 1 through 11, we studied creation through the Tower of Babel. It is in these chapters that God, the creator of the heavens and earth and all they contain, not only gives us the origins of the universe, but He also establishes His sovereign plan for mankind. These chapters are foundational to gaining a Christ-centered worldview through the understanding that man's sin has separated him from holy God, and the only way to bridge the gap created by that sin is through God's sovereign plan of salvation. It is God's story that he has written for man to live by. And in these first 11 chapters of Genesis, we see God's holy sovereign plan of salvation begin to unfold. Then in Genesis chapters 12 through 24, God's story continues as we studied the life of Abraham. It was in these chapters that we saw God's threefold promise to Abraham of blessing, land, and seed. God continues his story of salvation for man through a chosen people of Israel, and specifically through his covenant with Abraham. We saw God's promise to bless all of the nations of the earth through Abraham's seed with his promise of a Savior who will be a direct descendant of Abraham and will provide a way for man to be close to God again, bridging the gap that was caused by sin in the beginning. These first 24 chapters of the Bible explain the origin of mankind, the fall of man through sin, and God's plan of salvation through a chosen people, the Israelites. They trace the Israelites' ancestry and explain God's choosing of them as his people through whom he would bless all the nations with a promised Savior who will save people from their sin. Throughout our first two studies in Genesis, we saw God's eternal story begin to unfold and his plan for salvation was established. We learned God's faithfulness to man is constant despite man's sinful behavior, and we learned that his plan cannot and will not be thwarted. So we begin our study this semester with a continuation of God's eternal plan of salvation for man as it unfolds through his chosen people, Israel. This semester will be an enriching study of Israel's patriarchs, beginning in chapter 25 with the conclusion of Abraham's life, leading to the lives of Isaac, Jacob, and in chapter 40, touching on the life of Joseph. We will complete the last 10 chapters of Genesis at the beginning of next semester. So God established his covenant with Abraham in chapter 12 of Genesis, and he will confirm this covenant through his descendants, Isaac and Jacob. God promises that through Abraham's descendants, he will not only bless Israel with land and seed, but the whole world will be blessed. God establishes that it is through Abraham's line that a Savior will be born. If you were here when we covered these chapters in 20 and 21, you may remember from our study of this covenant that we learned it was a one-sided covenant, dependent only on God's faithfulness to fulfill its promises with nothing required from Abraham. Keep this in mind as we study the line through which our Savior will be born, and we see the sin of Abraham's descendants continue. We will watch man's attempt to manipulate circumstances to go in one direction while seeing the sovereign hand of God orchestrating the events of sinful man's lives to accomplish his eternally divine purposes. Beginning in the very first chapters, we will study with the attempt of Rebekah and Jacob to deceive Isaac. We will see God's promise of a Savior coming through this line and his ultimate plan unfolding before our eyes. Through our study of these patriarchs, we will see man's failures over and over through their wicked, sinful choices, and we ourselves will be convicted of sins of jealousy, deceit, fear, manipulation of circumstances, covetousness, greed, idol worship, just to name a few, while also being encouraged that despite our sin and the sin of those around us, God has a bigger and better plan. R. Kent Hughes states it this way, Genesis, and I quote, Genesis also provides us with a grand revelation of God's faithfulness as it recounts God's fidelity over and over again in the lives of the patriarchs. We see that God remains faithful even when the people to whom the promises are made become the greatest threat to the fulfillment of the promise. Such is God's faithfulness that the sinful, disordered lives of the promise bearers can't abort the promises. End of quote. With our study, theological truths will be revealed to us through the lives of the patriarch. Truths of God's election, his providence, and sovereignty, along with his patience, loving kindness, and faithfulness. Through this study, I believe that each of us will be encouraged to press on for the goal of the upward call of Christ. This story of their origins was given to the nation of Israel by Moses before they entered the promised land in order to show God's faithfulness to them as his chosen people and encourage them to press on. In similar fashion, we have this story of origins given to us as we await our promised Savior to spend eternity with him. You see, God's promise to bless the nations through Abraham has been fulfilled through Christ. And if you're saved, you're part of that blessing. Just as the Israelites were encouraged, we can be encouraged to walk by faith through this world, trusting that our God is with us every step of the way, leading and guiding us to our eternal home. God has given his story for us in his word. He wants us to search the scriptures to gain wisdom from him and how we should live daily. Remember Mrs. Wattlestein and how eagerly we searched for her? May I encourage you to do the same with this Bible study. Each day, pick up your Bible, search through the scriptures to answer the lesson questions, seeking God's wisdom, and you may be surprised you find extra blessings along the way that will enrich your life and draw you closer to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to study your word and that we can come together and discuss it freely, Lord. And I just pray that you continue to give us that blessing. Lord, help each and every one of us to search the scriptures each day as we do our lessons. Help us to be diligent to answer these questions to the best of our abilities, Lord. Guide us and direct us and grow us in you. Lead us to draw closer to you each day. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.